Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. In Mark chapter 11, we find the account of Jesus examining the fig tree looking for fruit. In verse 12, we read, quote, "The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry." Jesus has made an unfathomable investment in our lives to provide for our salvation. The reason he saved us was for us to be increasingly fruit-bearing disciples. Let's open our Bible now that we might learn what it really means that, quote, "Jesus is hungry."
Well, good morning and welcome to another teaching. It's an early Friday morning here in Texas, rainy morning, and man, it's just a good time to be spending time in our Bible, a good time to be spending time with Jesus. We had a senior, high school senior Bible study kind of sending off last night at our home, and you know, a lot of people came, parents came, the seniors were here, and you know, it was a wonderful time. Just you know, just shout out to Chloe and Peyton, who, you know, who just, you know, worked very hard, who worked very hard in prayer, praying over each senior and exhorting them in the Word of God and in life. As always, my wife May works very, very hard. And then just everybody who participated, you know, laid hands on them and commissioned them to go off and do what Jesus has called them to do. It was a wonderful time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And yesterday I only preached a short message. It was like a 25-minute message. There was just a lot of things that had to be done yesterday. You know, my wife manages all of this. You know, she just tells me the time slot that I have. And I gave a teaching on how important it is, or one of the biggest problems we have in all the church today is pretentious Christianity. We're often, you know, we're perceived by others as serious Christians or loving Christians or active Christians or genuine disciples of Jesus Christ, when in truth, we spend very little time with Jesus. We spend very little time in the advancement of his kingdom. We often spend very little time in serving him and serving others. We spend very little of our time, talents, and money giving of our time, our gifts and talents, the use of our gifts and talents, and our money in service to Jesus and his kingdom. And therefore, although we were raised by perhaps wonderful parents, as certainly all these seniors were, you know, we're still not fruitful Christians. And Jesus is demanding fruit from us. And it's not something we really do understand. So we're going to look at the story of the fig tree this morning. And the three most important words I told the seniors yesterday, and really there was a lot more people there than just seniors, but everyone left with understanding these words. Jesus is hungry. Jesus is hungry, and we're accountable to feed him. Now, what does he want? He wants fruit. When Jesus comes to you, and he is coming to you in this life consistently, as well as when we stand before him in heaven, what do you have to present to him? When Jesus comes to you, you're not aware of it, but he's coming looking for fruit. That's why we exist. We exist to feed Jesus. We exist to bear fruit for our King, our Master, our Savior, our God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. We thank you for your wonder. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Father, for our Bible, but above all, we thank you for Jesus, our only Lord and Savior and Master and King. Lord Jesus, we thank you for becoming a human man for us. We thank you for living a perfect, righteous life on our behalf that we could never live. We thank you for dying a torturous death on our behalf that we deserve to die. And we thank you that you're alive and risen today. And we worship you today, our risen Savior. Holy Spirit, we ask you to lead us and guide us now as we open your word. We ask you to give us eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts that understand. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, let's turn to Mark 11. And we're going to do verses 12 to 14. And 20 to 21 is the plan. So remember, the three words you want to take away from this teaching is Jesus is hungry. And as often as he comes to you, maybe daily, maybe weekly, but Jesus is coming to you. We don't recognize it. And he's looking to collect some fruit. Jesus wants a return on his investment. We do not understand the investment that's been made in us. Our God, God the Son, Jesus, the Son of God, willingly entered this world to provide for the forgiveness of our sins, the salvation of our soul, deliverance from eternal hell, to rescue us from an eternity in hell, and to bring us to heaven when we die. He did all that so that we would be saved. But the purpose for which he saved us was to bear fruit. To bear fruit for Jesus and his kingdom. To use our time, gifts and talents, the things we're gifted at or talented at, and our money increasingly in service to him that we might bear fruit for his kingdom. That's why we exist. I wasn't going to share this, but let's turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Jesus says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words, the Bible, remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Look at that, verse 8. Remaining in Jesus and bearing fruit, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So again, the purpose that we for which we exist is to bear fruit for Jesus. Go down to verse 16. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Okay, so again, there has been a massive, inconceivable investment put into us as the church, as the body of Christ. The investment was there to save us, but the purpose for which we were saved is not just so we could happily be delivered, which is wonderful, is not just so we can escape an eternity of torment in hell, which in itself is overwhelming. Because if Jesus did not enter this world, if our God, God the Son of God, Jesus, didn't willingly enter this world, live for us, die for us, and rise again, every human being would be spending an eternity in hell, separated from our triune God in torment and misery. But because Jesus did enter this world, die on the cross, and rise again, all who are trusting in Jesus, all who have received Jesus as their Savior, all who know and believe themselves to be desperate, hopeless sinners and have run to the cross and have cried out to Jesus, Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who is genuinely trusting in Jesus and received him as their Savior, John 1:12, yet to all who received him, Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If you're literally, you know that you believe that you're a desperate sinner, you believe that Jesus entered this world, lived for you, died on the cross, rose again, and you have received him as your Savior. You've called out to him. You've asked him to come into your heart, to be the Lord of your life, to save you from your sin, to bring you to heaven when you die. You're literally trusting in Jesus. You have your full confidence in Jesus alone to save you, deliver you from hell, and to bring you to heaven when you die. Then you are saved. That's a massive, overwhelming investment. But the reason that he saved you, John chapter 15, the Gospel of John, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Verse 8, John 15, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. So, how much fruit are you bearing? Perhaps you are a Christian today. Hopefully everyone listening to me has genuinely received Jesus. A Christian is not someone that just gives intellectual assent to the existence of Jesus, or an intellectual belief that Jesus existed or even lived, died, and rose again. That's good that you do that. But are you trusting in Jesus? Do you have your full confidence in Jesus? Are you literally clinging to Jesus alone right now for your salvation, for your deliverance from hell? If you are, then you are a Christian. You have spiritual life. You have eternal life. You'll go to heaven when you die. But the goal of our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit, is not to populate heaven. It's to cultivate fruitful disciples, right? You cultivate that garden so it bears fruits and vegetables, right? The goal of our Master and our King is that we bear fruit and inasmuch glorify our Heavenly Father as we bear fruit for Jesus Christ our Lord. But most Christians, most people who claim to be Christians, regrettably, you can see very little fruit in their life. Examine yourself. How much time, again, do you give to looking to advance the kingdom of Jesus, to advance the gospel? How much of your time do you spend in the Word of God, in prayer for others, in fellowship and community? How much are you using the things you're good at, you're gifted at, your talents, the things you're talented at, not only in service to yourself, your own life, your own family, your own needs, but in service to the kingdom of God, the gospel of God, in service to Jesus, your master? And how much of your money do you use for yourself, your own life, your own needs, your own retirement, your own fun? And how much are you using in the advancement of the gospel? You know, people will say, well, you know, again, what should I be giving? 10% is a good place to start. Okay? That's a good place to begin. Hopefully right now you're using at least 10% of your money in service to the kingdom. You're giving to good, solid, Bible-based disciples of Jesus, whether it be at a church or whether it be in a ministry, whether they're missionaries. But hopefully you're giving at least 10% of your income in service to the gospel. Now, you know, people who've learned to give, they'll have goals to give you know, substantially more. You know, some people want to get to where they're giving 15% of their income. That's 50% more. The Bible mentions we should give at least a tithe of our income, right? Again, everything belongs to Jesus. So if you keep 90 for yourself and your own needs, your own fun, and give 10 to the work of Christ, 10%, you know, yes, Jesus is pleased with that. That's what he's told you to do. But some people want to get to 15% where they're given 50% more. They just, they want to use more of their money in service to Christ. They want to give to, again, the work of Christ. Again, you want to make sure you're giving, again, to people, churches, ministries that are teaching the word of God, that are advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that are sharing good, clean, articulate, full gospel. Churches that are willing to talk about sin, ministries that are willing to challenge you in your life, ministries that are making disciples. Okay, we make an effort to do that at Kingdom Discipleship. Others can grade us. But you want to be giving to where you know the work of Christ is being advanced. And some people want to get to where they're double tithers. They want to give twice as much as what the Bible says you should give. Some people get to 50%. And then there's a few Christians over the years that have gotten to be reverse tithers. The Lord has blessed them so much, and they're so skilled in their giving that they live on 10%. And that's more than enough. And they give 90% to the work of Christ. We're going to stand before Jesus. And he's rewarding us in this life as well for how much of our time, talents, and money we're using in service to Jesus. And the more we use our time, our gifts and talents and money, the more fruit we are going to bear for his kingdom. And he's serious about it. Let's go back to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, and look at verses 12 to 14. Mark 11, 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And I told you, Jesus is still hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. Look at 20 and 21. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." The people in Bible study yesterday were blessed because, you know, they had all read this story. But they never heard the story explained. They never, unless they had heard me teach it before. But the first thing to understand is that this is not in the Bible to be a lesson on agriculture. Do you believe that? Okay. Jesus is not trying to teach you here about agriculture. Okay. This lesson is for you. This lesson is for me. This lesson is for every Christian in the world who's reading this. Certainly the lesson did apply to people in Jesus's day who had an outward religious beauty, but had no true love for Jesus, no true love for God, no heart in truth for the advancement of the gospel. And today that applies to us. As I said, the biggest problem we have is a pretentious Christianity. We look good on the outside. You and I are this fig tree, and Jesus is hungry. Mark 11, verse 12, the next day as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. Like this fig tree, many of us as Christians, most, man, we look good from a distance. If you look at us in church, man, we look good. We're dressed up nice. We're smiling. We're polite. I mean, this tree from a distance looked good. It was in leaf. It was green. It was full. I mean, it looked like a perfect tree. I mean, it was handsome. It looked good. This was a good looking tree from a distance. But what we don't understand is that although we may look good from a distance, Jesus is going to come up on us. He's going to get very close to us. And he's going to inspect us because he's hungry. He's hungry for a return on his investment. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf. Man, that tree looks good. He went to find out if it had any fruit. And he's doing the same with you this day. He'll do it ultimately for the last time when you stand before him in heaven. We're all going to be judged. It'll have nothing to do with our salvation. Our salvation is by grace alone. But you'll stand before Jesus and you'll be rewarded for how much fruit you bore for his kingdom. How much of your time, gifts and talents and money you used in this life for the advancement of his kingdom. And this will determine not getting to heaven, but this will determine your position in heaven, how close your relationship is to Jesus in heaven. It'll determine a level of authority you have in heaven. It'll determine how you experience heaven. If you and I are both in the armed forces, if we're in the army and you're a general and I'm a private, we're both in, but I suspect it's a different experience. I've said before, if you and I go to a professional football game, a Dallas Cowboy game, and you're in the first row, you're on the field, and I'm in the last row at the top, we're both in the Cowboy game, but it's a completely different experience. Those Christians, those disciples of Jesus that are fruit-bearing will have a much more fulfilling experience in heaven. Your reward in heaven will be far greater than those who had genuinely received Jesus. They were saved, but there was little to show for their life. You'll still be content. You'll still be in heaven. You'll be there just of escaping the flames of hell. But when you stand before Jesus, there will be weeping. As we saw, that we had very little to show for our lives. Jesus is hungry. He's hungry for a return on the investment he's made in you. You and I are using up the soil in the kingdom of God. Why is Jesus giving this tree a hard time? The tree's minding its business, not hurting anybody. It's just there minding its business. But Jesus is the boss. Jesus owns this tree. Jesus is giving this tree a hard time because it has failed to do the only thing it was created to do. Jesus owns everything. You, me, the world, the universe, everything. He created it. He's the boss of it. He holds it together. The single reason that this fig tree existed was to bear fruit for Jesus. That's why it existed. That's why he created it. It had failed to do the very thing that Jesus created it to do. In the same way, you and I are created at the foundation of all things to bear fruit for Jesus, to serve Jesus, to give more of ourselves to Jesus, to increasingly more and more be living for Jesus, loving for Jesus, giving for Jesus, and forgiving for Jesus, using all our time, talent, and money more and more in service to Jesus. We exist for that more than anything else. Yes, we should be good parents. We should be loving fathers and mothers. We should be good children. We should be good employees. More than any of that, all that's obviously important. We exist to bear fruit for Jesus. This tree existed to bear fruit for Jesus. Seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. And Jesus is coming up on us for an inspection. What do you want? Do you want to have like a smorgasbord? Or do you just want to have nothing there when Jesus comes here? Do you not want to have like a big tray of fruit of apples and oranges and pears and grapes and all the vegetables and lettuce and tomatoes and just Jesus have his pick? You got so much fruit. Verse 13, when he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. That's the hardest part of this teaching. You want to say, Jesus, why are you giving the fig tree a hard time for not having figs? It's not the season for figs. Don't you know, Jesus, that this tree only bears fruit in season? Well, as I told you, Jesus is not trying to give us an agricultural lesson here, Stephen, okay? Jesus ain't playing the season game, apparently, right? We go out, and if you and I went out to pick an apple, and it wasn't the season for apples, we wouldn't get mad at the tree, curse the tree, and cause it to immediately die. We wouldn't judge the tree because we would realize it's not the season for apples. Jesus ain't playing the season game. When this tree was leaving, it should have been figging. Okay? Here's the problem. The tree had leaves on it. And this tree, when it has leaves on it, it does have some figs on it. They should go together. But this tree had the appearance of a fruitful tree, but it had no fruit at all. Romans 15:4 says that everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, to instruct us. This isn't in the Bible to be a cool story about what Jesus did with a tree. Now, when you read this story, hopefully you see it a little differently. Jesus is hungry. And when he reaches you, he's not playing the season game. He expects you to have fruit. Fruit to turn over to Jesus, because again, Jesus is hungry for a return on the investment he's made in you and made in me. In this case, Jesus finds nothing and he immediately brings judgment on the tree. And when he finds nothing in us, he will judge us and we will come under discipline. And that discipline is not pleasant. Discipline comes in the way of hardships, trials, difficulties, whether they be spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, relationally, trials in our health, trials in relationships, trials in finances. Jesus disciplines us. So examine yourself. How much are you using your time, talents, and money in service to Jesus? How much are you bearing fruit for Jesus? How much are you remaining in him, remaining in his word, spending time in the word of God in prayer and praise and thanksgiving and worship, spending daily time in repentance, daily time just examining yourself and seeing what's out of line and going before Jesus, just having a conversation with him about the things that you know or something that the Holy Spirit has brought to your mind that's out of place. Jesus is hungry. So go back again. Read Mark 11, verses 12 to 14 and verses 20 and 21. And keep in mind that you are the fig tree. And if you look good from a distance, if you look like a respectable Christian, but you're really not bearing any fruit for Jesus, well, there's an area of earnest repentance. Get down on your knees, humble yourself before Jesus, ask the Holy Spirit to help you, and begin today to use more of your time, gifts, and talents, and money in service to Jesus and his kingdom, and you will bear more and more fruit. And as Jesus said in John 15, this is what our Heavenly Father wants. This brings glory to your Heavenly Father, that you bear much fruit. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord Jesus, we are humbled under your word today. And Lord, we do want to have fruit to give over to you when you come to inspect us. We know we're the fig tree, Lord. I ask you to forgive me, Lord Jesus. Forgive us, Lord. Where when we have not had fruit, to give you. When we have not satisfied you, Lord, when your appetite went unsatisfied, because we weren't in a season, Lord, because we were in a season where we were too busy in our own hobbies. We were in a season where we were too busy watching Netflix or just spending time on our phone or playing games or doing our hobbies or doing everything except serving you and your kingdom. Holy Spirit, we do ask you to convict us of this now. We want to be fruitful disciples that serve Jesus Christ our Lord more and more. Father, we love you and we bless you. We commit our souls into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.